You may be seated. I know you don't need my permission to be seated because you sit whether I give you permission to or not. But it is a polite thing to do. Please open in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 18. There's some things that God wants us to know about himself. And the reason he wants us to know it about himself is because he repeats it concerning himself over and over. Genesis chapter 18. The father of us all is Abraham. Bye, Julian. In verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. It was some amazing visit from the Lord who appeared. He was telling him something he had told him before, and each time he tells him, he gives a little bit more detail. He's already told him he's going to be a father of a great nation. And I'm sure the first time that he told Abram, Abram told Sarah. But years and years went on, and now one of the fourth or fifth visitations, and we come to verse 12. Because Sarah heard what had been in her heart years earlier. Let's pick up at verse 9. Excuse me. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, the wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Why is she laughing at that? And then the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, you laughed, thou didst laugh. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And yes, may we experience the same visitations as you have changed not into our lives, and help us to understand and to further seek you in all of your glory. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? As I mentioned earlier, 25 years earlier, God came to Abram and began to unfold a plan he had for his life. I believe Abram shared that with his wife. And she was probably excited over the fact that she was going to have a child. She was 70 or 65 at the time. But years went on and years went on, and it didn't happen. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, this is hundreds of years later. It says in Jeremiah 32, 26, 27, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And it was in reference to a city into the enemy's hands, the hands of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that Jeremiah was saying would happen. And he shall take it. And the time was spoken was when Zedekiah, king of Judah, had put the prophet Jeremiah in prison. But you might put the prophet in prison, but you can't stop the word of the Lord from coming to him. And God, again, is saying something he said of himself hundreds of years earlier. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It was while Jeremiah was in prison, he did some real estate transactions. And he said, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. We have a chorus we sing. There's absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee, O Lord God, and I will spare you. Sarah, years later, I believe what she believed has now turned to hope, and from hope to I'm not sure, and from I'm not sure to not going to happen. And Sarah asked the question, shall I have a child when it is too late? And we all respond differently to the Lord. Abraham, when he was reminded again, he laughed. Not because of unbelief, but he laughed because he believed it would be so. Like, wow, isn't that something? But Sarah laughed because she just didn't believe it would happen. And her laughter was not an outward laughter to show contempt and disrespect, but she inwardly laughed because, and then she denied that she laughed. She was afraid, but inwardly she did laugh. God knows the heart. He always knows your heart. And God, who is the one who declares, I can do anything. And if he be God, he can. And you find that God often comes to his people and he throws that invitation right before us. And he reminds us, because I can do anything, you ask me anything. In fact, it happened to Solomon. He came to Solomon in a dream and said, ask me anything you want. And the reason he could do that is because I could provide and do anything that you might think about. And I remember years ago when my wife and I were newlyweds, there was a minister friend of mine who was quite successful and quite financially prosperous. He came to my wife and I, knowing we were going to take a little vacation, and he handed me his credit card. And he said, here, you go and you put it on this. Let me bless you. And you live and live it up. Well, I didn't want to take advantage of him, and so we felt a little awkward, and so we stayed in the cheaper motels. How many know what Motel 6 is? And that's every preacher's motel. And so we stayed there, and I think finally I wanted to stay in a nicer one. My wife said, oh, no, we couldn't do that. And I think we bumped it up a little bit. But at the end, when I gave him back his credit card, he said, well, how'd it go? And I said, fine. He said, where do you stay? And I told him where we stay, and he said, you're nuts. And I said, why am I nuts? He said, because I told you to live it up and you didn't live it up. I wish I could do it over again. I'd know how to use that credit card. But at the time I felt awkward. But God comes to us. And believe it or not, he's the one that puts the invitation out there. It's his credit card. It's his strength. It's his power. And in fact, Jesus came to a man one time and he said, what wilt thou that I should do for you? On another occasion, Jesus said, if thou sayest unto this mountain. Notice he didn't say, if you say unto this molehill. He said unto this mountain, because God is letting us know he can do anything and take care of any problem, no matter how big it is. No one has ever bankrupt God. No one has ever used up all of his strength, all of his abilities, And when all human hope is lost, and life seems against you, and heartache and trials and hurts come against you, and it seems like life has put its iron fist of destiny, you can take comfort in the thought, is anything too hard for the Lord? Any problem we feel that life has put before us? Is there any hurt that you're facing that is before you? Any problem you feel that maybe providence, you may be reading wrong, has put before you? Any problem that you have created? Any mess you have created? Take comfort in this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything man does, any mess man makes, God can clean up that mess and fix it. I have meditated on this woman, Sarah, and I've often wondered, why is she laughing? Why is she doubting? Did not Abraham, no doubt, tell her years earlier? And the answer is yes, time and the realities and the heartaches and the trials of time can take away your faith and take away your hope. And the Bible said hope deferred makes the heart sick. I want to ask you today, is there anything in your life that you feel is overwhelming? Is there anything you feel is just too big? Maybe at one time it wouldn't have challenged you, but because you've carried it and carried it, you may not feel that way like you did. I want to talk for a moment on why do we struggle with some things when years earlier we may not have. Why do we have a hard time believing God for some miracles, but not in other areas? Number one, in Psalms chapter 107, verse 17, here's what the psalmist said. Fools, that means the rebellious people, because of their transgressions, their sins, and because of their iniquities, they're hurting, they're afflicted. And because of their sins, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Life just doesn't taste good. And they draw near unto the gates of death. But he said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And God says, you made your bed, now you have to live in it. No, it said he saved them from their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. You know why we have a hard time believing God for some things? Because we feel we're the ones that created the problem. And if we've created the problem, why, we're aware of Galatians when it says, God is not mocked, be not deceived, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we often feel at times that, no, the problem, I can't expect God to do anything because I'm the one that created this problem and I'm just going to have to reap what I sowed. But this is such an important truth I want us to understand. We do not reap everything we sow. Because if we did, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross and become our substitute. It said in Psalms 103:10, he doesn't deal with us according after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The truth is, we don't get what we deserved. He suffered what we never will comprehend. He suffered an eternal death, not just death, an eternal death, that we might inherit eternal life. How can this happen? Doesn't the Bible say that we're going to reap what we sow? Yes, but let me illustrate it this way. There is a higher law that comes into play if you cry out to the Lord. Just as gravity is a law, nobody denies. But there's a higher law that can overpower gravity, aerodynamics. And that's why airplanes can fly, because of a greater law that will override that one. In the same way, it is the spiritual that controls the physical. Always remember that. The spiritual world has greater power than the physical world. God is a spirit, and the Spirit of God said, "Let there be," and there was. And it came forth. The Spirit of God controls the physical elements. And I repeat, any problem that we have created, any mess we've made, God can clean up. Well, Pastor, I can see fixing problems that I didn't have anything to do with, but it's different when I'm responsible. Just cry out to the Lord and watch what He can do. So Sarah is now 90 years old, and she inwardly laughs. And the Lord reminded her. In fact, I will deal with this in a little bit, but how often the faith movement has only presented one side of faith, and they haven't showed the whole side of faith, and that is this. We've often said that, well, you have to have faith in order to have a miracle. Do you know I can show you more miracles in the Bible where they had a miracle and they didn't have faith than when they had faith? And that's no argument to say, let's not try to believe and have faith. But Sarah didn't believe. But did she have a child? Yes, she did. So take comfort in that. Okay, I'm going to walk out of here and be an unbeliever. No, the truth is that the Lord reminded her that nothing is too hard for the Lord. And does anybody here have a belief that God can do anything but this area? Everybody has that this area. I believe the Lord can do this and it, but I don't know. Mozart, the great music composer, says in his letters that whenever he saw a grand mountain or a wonderful piece of scenery, it said to him, "Turn me into music. Play me on the organ." Jesus said when he saw a mountain, he interpreted that any mountain you have, the Lord can help you remove it. God can do anything. It was years later, God reminded the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, no doubt, was perhaps thinking of the time when the Lord spoke to Sarah and said, "Is anything too hard for thee?" The second reason why we have a difficulty in believing the Lord is we feel we don't have faith. Well, I've been told that in order for a miracle to happen, I have to believe. Can I show you all the miracles that happened to people even though they didn't believe? God still, in His mercy, gave a miracle. I'm not trying to encourage you not to believe, but I am saying that you'll enjoy the ride to heaven a lot more if you do believe. And all of us at times have been fooled by being deceived by something. We often fail to recognize His voice. We often fail to recognize answered prayer. Maybe God has been giving you the miracle, but you haven't recognized it. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, we have the story where Peter is put in prison by Herod. He's got 16 guards that are watching him. He's got chains over his ankles, and the angel of the Lord came and told him to he unloosed the chains and he told Peter to stand up, and Peter stood up, and then he said put on your garments, and he put on his garments, and then he said, "Now you walk out of here, I'm not going to carry you." And it says that Peter follows him, and the scripture says, all during this time, mind you, he didn't know what was happening. It said he wist not that it was true. Sounds to me like Peter didn't have faith. He was going through the miracle, but at the time he was not aware that a miracle was happening. And I only use that to add to my point that you can have a miracle whether you have faith or not. God is much bigger than your unbelief. And sometimes God has the faith for you. And I just say that to encourage you. And finally, after passing the first and the second ward, they came to an iron gate, and the iron gate opened by itself. Did Peter's faith open the gate? No, God himself did it. And finally, when Peter finally got outside, he said, "Well, I'll be. A miracle just happened." The point is, he didn't know it during the miracle itself. Remember, Peter was in prison, but prayer was being given by the church for his release. And while Peter is being delivered, he didn't realize what was happening. I wonder if miracles are happening to you and you're not recognizing it at the time. You may be in the midst of a miracle right now and you're not seeing it. And often that is the case in our life. That's why we should continually be rejoicing in the Lord, because he is continually working in our behalf. Joseph was in prison, and then he was released. And Jacob, his father, didn't know it. And yet a miracle had taken place. Let me say this, God is working for you, but you may not be seeing it. A miracle may be happening and you're not aware of it. Oh, may God open our eyes. A pastor was preaching on God doing miracles, and then came the Christmas season, and the church put on a play, and up on the stage was a little baby Jesus. And they had that play about four or five times, and they were getting ready to have it the sixth time when he came out, and baby Jesus had been stolen. Pastor was having a bad day, and he began to get irritated. Who in the world would have stole baby Jesus? He met with his staff and asked them, "Does anybody know where baby Jesus is?" And staff said, "No." And so he went before the congregation in each service. He did the best he could to explain why stealing is wrong. And if anybody has stolen baby Jesus, you can give him back and we'll be easy on you. Nobody returned baby Jesus. Finally, about 2 days before Christmas, he happened to be taking a walk in a neighborhood where he normally doesn't go. And he looked up and he saw a family he knew attended his church. And there was a little boy that he knew came from a very poor, struggling home. And the little boy had a red wagon. And immediately the pastor's thinking, wow, I bet the parents went through a lot of sacrifice to give that little boy a red wagon. And he came up alongside to congratulate the little boy for his wagon, and he knew that this little boy, their family was having an early Christmas because Dad had to leave town. And so as he came up to congratulate, he looked inside the wagon. There's baby Jesus. He looked at the little boy and he thought to himself, I'm going to have to tone this down a bit and not talk to him like an adult. But he went ahead and gave his talk to the little boy why it was wrong to steal, and you shouldn't, you know, nobody should steal baby Jesus. And he couldn't believe how the little boy didn't seem to be guilty one bit. Little bitty boy looked up at the pastor and said, Pastor, he said, you don't understand. He said, I've been praying and praying for a red wagon. And I got my red wagon, but I told the Lord, if I get a red wagon, baby Jesus, I'll let you be the first to give a ride in it as I go through the neighborhood. He just held on to it a little bit too long. Now, I don't know if that story is totally true, but it makes a good point, and that a miracle had happened, and we often don't see it. Another thing I want to bring out about this miracle stuff is God may be giving you something better than what you asked for. And because he's giving you something better than what you asked for, you don't recognize it when it comes. That's why the scripture says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if I in my mind ask the Lord for something I'm thinking of, but he does something beyond that and is better and greater, then when it comes, I may not recognize it because it wasn't what I asked for. The miracle that God will give will include and often supersede what you asked for. God can do anything. You see, God can do anything. He can deliver Peter from jail, but Peter isn't the only one that was locked up. Paul was locked up. Paul and Silas were locked up, and they sang praises unto midnight, and the Lord delivered them. Joseph is delivered from jail. Jeremiah, as we read, got delivered from jail. Paul's already been delivered from jail, but now Paul is in jail, and you can be rest assured, as much as James says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, we can know that Paul was a man subject to like passions such as we are. You know good and well Paul prayed to get out of jail. And if you were to go to Paul and say, Paul, why do you want to be out of jail? He said, well, that's a dumb question. What do you mean, why do I want to be out of jail? I could do more for God. And I could win more souls. And I don't like being boxed up into these different houses and places that they've got that's confining me. But then Paul got a miracle. It was a greater miracle than what he had asked for. Paul said this, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. How many know a miracle inwardly is better than a miracle outwardly? And Paul, when he got the miracle of contentment in his heart, the victory in here, that was a much better miracle than the one that was out there. And if God can give you a miracle in here, which sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't deliver you from the fire. He delivers you in the fire. And so may God give you wisdom to see that God is always working for your good. And he knows what is best. And sometimes we receive miracles, but we don't recognize them because what he did for us was far greater than what we asked for. Did Paul lose faith because he wasn't delivered? Did Paul not have faith because he wasn't delivered? No. God gave him the miracle. Sometimes God is answering our prayers, but we don't recognize it. One might be saying, poor Paul. But Paul would say, hey, I'm all right. I have victory in here. And we know that Paul did more for God within the jail, because while he was in the jail, now he can write epistles that he perhaps would not have written had he been out free, traveling and visiting the churches. And from the old to the new, the message remains the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change. He wouldn't be God if he could change. If he did change, he wouldn't be God. God is God. He is perfect. He is light in all of his ways. In fact, he wanted to remind us again that he can do anything. In Luke chapter 1, verse 24, we read these famous words, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then we read these words that God wanted put in the scriptures to continually remind us again and again and again, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The miracles in the Bible, they're all different. They're all unique. And they go beyond our ability often to comprehend and understand. The Red Sea opening up. The axe head that swam. I wonder if it used the breaststroke or the backstroke or the freestyle. That's really bad, Pastor. It's the Olympics. Hey, the manna that fell and fed a nation. We don't even know what it was. They didn't know what it was. They called it manna, or what is it? An incredible miracle. Jesus raising three people from the dead, and then himself raising from the dead. I personally have observed hundreds of supernatural miracles that God has done. I never cease to be amazed of God working far beyond my understanding. And so I close. Are you here today? You believe in miracles, but you struggle in a certain area. That doesn't mean me. Yes, it does. Well, I believe God, but was there a time that you had faith to believe God for anything? But life can be rough. Trials can be hard. And now you begin to face something you're not sure. I want to remind you again, is anything too hard for the Lord? Would you stand with me? I used to preach, you needed three things to have a miracle. You needed to have a need. You needed to have faith. And you needed to have God. I don't think I quite believe it that way anymore. I still believe that. But sometimes you can have a need, and you may not feel you have faith, but you got hope. And your hope can grow to faith. But Pastor, what if even my hope is gone? You remember the book of Acts when Paul said in the storm all hope was gone? But God still did the miracle. So if you've had hope and it's not hardly there anymore. In fact, discouragement can set in. I have good news for you. You can still have a miracle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You're a miracle-working God, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is too difficult for thee. And Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit has moved upon me this week to throw this or to bring forth this, that Lord Jesus, if someone here is struggling or has lost hope and doesn't have faith, nothing's too hard for God. Lord, as the man said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And you did. So may we take comfort in these words that God is like a father, and no father withholds from his children because they don't know or believe whether the father will feed them. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, I need a miracle? Would you lift your hands? I'm not asking if you have faith. I'm not asking if you believe or that. Just, I need a miracle. Would you raise your hand? I'm going to ask that all of us come and stand before the Lord. Could we do that? And I want to just pray. And I want you to pray for the one next to you. Lord, help them have faith. Jesus rose from the dead, not because the disciples believed he would rise from the dead. Sarah had the baby, not because she believed. Thomas found out that Christ was real, even though he didn't believe, and he reached out. And Jesus said, blessed are those that believe. So take heart. Let me pray. Father, you see this and these people, and you know every need. And Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. You're able to give faith when we don't have faith. You're able to increase our faith. You're able to help our unbelief. And oh Lord, if people are here and they believe, then I say God bless them. And may we encourage them in that. But Lord, if there be that one area that we struggle with and we just feel such gloom and darkness, oh God, may you step in. And Lord, may we take comfort as the Lord said to Paul by the angel, be of good cheer. And Lord, Lord, may each person here hear the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to us by His word and His minister. Be of good cheer. Take comfort. You have overcome. Be with your people. And Lord, we expect miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, it's a miracle. He didn't go longer than he did.